Happy Wednesday, everybody, and Merry Christmas Eve. We've got one more day to go until Christmas Eve and then the big Christmas morning, but we are here, of course. We're not going to leave you hanging without any listener questions. We have Scotty G and Pam joining me as we go through not only Walt Disney World trip planning questions, but we got a couple of Disney Cruise Line questions as well. How fun is that? We hope you enjoyed today's show. Don't forget, today's episode brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to go on your next Disney adventure, we'd sure appreciate it if you'd book that trip with the great agents over at the Magic for Less. Just drop by their website, check out the great trip planning tools, and while you're there, fill out the quote form. It's over at themagicforless.com. As you do that last minute shopping, probably not online, but as you shop continuing here in the end of 2020 and into 2021, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge thank you again to our patrons. You guys have helped carry the show here throughout 2020, and I am eternally grateful for that. If you'd like some extra content in your feed, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1820 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Merry Christmas Eve. That's right. We're if you really like Christmas Eve, today is the eve of Christmas Eve. It's the 23rd, and we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas festivities, which it's 2020, so who knows what that's going to look like in your corner of the world. But most importantly, don't worry, just have a great time with those that you get to be with, whether it's via Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, what have you. I know that I get together with Scott and Steve Forrester at some point every Christmas, Christmas night. And we do the Christmas shot. So we'll have to carry that on. That's very socially distanced. Three states, three people. Perfect. All right. So we are going to answer your listener questions as we do. Ricky is actually, ironically enough, she's in Missouri, really close to me for once, and she's unavailable to do the shows. So pinch hitting for Ricky, of course. We have hashtag Scotty G, Scott Gardner up in the mitten. Scott, Merry Christmas Eve Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve Eve to you, Mike. Happy to be on the show. Always willing to be a pinch hitter. And so the back signal was out, or I guess in this case, the mouse signal was out in the sky. So I had to call in and, fill in for Ricky. So I appreciate it.
That's right. So what's on your agenda quickly for Christmas up in Michigan?
Just some family stuff. We're going to do some FaceTiming, like you said, keep it very limited. I haven't seen my dad and brother. My mother passed away this fall. So it's been a really tough, challenging holiday for us. But going to spend a lot of time, try to keep some of those memories that and traditions that we've always had with my mom. So it's going to be an emotional one, but it's going to be a good one, though. Looking forward to it.
That's right. We'll reach out to you. We'll definitely connect over the holiday. I can't wait to talk to you. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who is magically with us today to answer your questions. But she's actually down in the Sunshine State. What's up, Pam? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas Eve. Yes. The snow that we got like in the past couple weeks was enough to push me down there. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to, there's no better place than Disney World at Christmas time. So I'm going to experience it and do it. And this year, I'm just still anticipating that the crowds are going to be much less than they have in past years. So.
Okay, so on Christmas morning, I'm going to FaceTime you. I want to see the Christmas Day Parade live Main Street. I want you in pajamas. I want Hannah and Steve in pajamas. I want to see the guys, the toy soldiers, all that stuff.
Yeah, and the onesies. I'll be the one in the onesies, that you see those people wearing the Christmas onesies. Yeah.
So that's my question. I'll start off the listener question show with a question of my own. What do you two feel about pajamas in the Magic Kingdom?
What do you feel about pajamas in society is, I think, the question, right? I mean, it's like all of a sudden December hits and everybody thinks they got to wear like thermal pajamas to Walmart, to the grocery store. I'm like, dude, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. It's not even time for bed. And I go to bed early. But I'm just saying, Pam, what do you think about it?
That's how I feel, too. I'm like, maybe this makes us all so old school, but like, when did this become okay? Like pajamas and Uggs. Is that an outfit that you wear outside your home? I didn't think it was, but lots of people do. So
I don't even own pajamas. As Pam knows this, we've traveled together. Like, I wear like golf shorts to bed. Like, what is pajamas?
Scott's upper class. He wears a collared shirt to bed. He makes sure.
Scott pops out of bed ready to play golf.
Yeah. That's right. Just in case. Just, you know, you never know. You're going to get like a 6 a.m. tee time. You're just
ready to go. Always got to be prepared.
That's right.
I don't know. Like, and that's what I always say, too. Like, what goes on in your normal life that your regular clothes are so uncomfortable that the only way you can be comfortable is to wear pajamas? Like, maybe you need to rethink other aspects of your life. So.
Well, that's the truth. I mean, honestly, not a whole lot's changed because I've worked at home for 3 years. But I mean, since we haven't really gone out to eat ever, you know, that was like the one time I put on my go out jeans. Right. Every, you know, a few times a week, I tell Pam, oh, we're going, you know, back in the day, we're going to Las Fuentes. I got to get on the go out jeans, you know, and just my regular jeans. But now it's like, dude, I wear Nike sweatpants and athletic attire since March. I mean, no, I'm not kidding. It's just like, it's like acceptable pajamas, basically. So.
No, I like, to me, I don't really care. If other people wear them, I'm all about look, whatever. But like, if Hannah tried to do it, I would tell her no. So I guess that's where I stand.
I just, the pajama bottoms don't have pockets. I need a pocket somewhere. So
that, right? Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
All right, let's get to why we're here. We're here for listener questions. And if you have pajama things, it's Scott at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Send me. No, he doesn't have. I'll have to set that up this weekend or something. All right, James has a question. It says, next year will be the first time we've stayed on property without the Disney dining plan. Any tips on good value eating while paying out of pocket? My kids are used to eating like kings, and I don't want to shatter that illusion too much. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, James. Scott, what do you think? Because I know a lot of times you guys do some table service at least once a day, and you don't. Sometimes you don't do the Disney dining plan. So tips for trying not to break the bank, but eating well, enjoying the trip.
Yeah, so when it comes to table service, my go-to, I always hate to say this on the BR Guest podcast, though, but I think Olivia's is a great value for table service. I know, I said it, Mike.
It's a great value. It is.
It is a really good value. I love that buttermilk chicken. It's, you know, and it's a homey place. I really like enjoying there. I like the atmosphere, but I think that brings a really good value when you compare to other similar types of table service restaurants for breakfast and dinner, too. I like both meals.
Right. My tip, too, is if you're used to being on the dining plan and your kids, because I totally get that. Like, kids don't understand the economics of a trip. They just know, like, okay, the last three times been to Walt Disney World, we did X, Y, and Z. And they just, you know, it's not anything against the kids. They just think it's going to happen on trip four, even though the circumstances may be different. I would say if you're kind of trying to, you know, rein in the purse strings just a little bit, you could go to your table service meal at lunch. Or maybe do some kind of a late breakfast and see if you can, you know, kind of have a similar meal and get a little bit of a break on the price, because they tend to be more expensive at dinner time by a little bit. And if you do that over 4 or 5 days, you're going to save, you know, maybe the cost of a full meal or two by the end of the trip. That's an option, and you could still go to the same restaurants, but maybe switch it up and just really, it's kind of the mindset you put the kids in too. Like, okay, we're going to go to this real nice lunch and then we're going to snack at night and do a counter service. You know, we're going to have Pecos Bills, but then we're going to get popcorn, you know, and ice cream. And I don't know. It's just kind of how you sell it to the kids. So Pam, any other suggestions for that?
I think too, one of the great things is, especially right now, we seem to be in one of the times when there is a festival at Epcot, almost, you know, it's down for a couple of days, then it's back up. And I think that that's easy to do too. And that's an easy way to save money, as you're going there and doing a little thing to get a couple things here, a couple things there. That's good. I think if you look at any of the table service locations that are not signature table service locations, most of them offer some pretty good values. I mean, just to name a few, Kona has some good choices, and they aren't too expensive. Grand Floridian Cafe has some as well. The Wave does too. Those are all options that are table service and sit down, but still they keep the prices more in check there.
All righty. So enjoy that trip. Thomas Hildebrand in the live chat has a question. He says, fun question. And we always like fun questions. But I don't like candy bars in fun size, because fun size just means not enough. Yeah, exactly. Teeny tiny. Fun size is only fun if you have like five. Okay, so since there might be... exactly. And then you're like, oh, my stomach hurts. I shouldn't have had that fifth one. Anyway, since there might be a new relief package coming in, it's rumored it'll be about $600. Say that you have $600 down at Walt Disney World. With COVID implications, what would you spend it on? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Thomas. So I don't know what that means with COVID implications, right? I mean, if I have 600 extra bucks in my pocket, which who knows if we will or won't, basically, what would you spend it? Like, say, let's say the big man's coming tomorrow night, right? And he throws 600 bucks in that stocking and says, got to use it down at Disney. Well, like, what do you have your mind on, Scott? Like, have you seen something in the last, like, few trips that you're like, it's in that range. It's too expensive really to get, but if Santa drops 600 in the old stocking, you grab.
That's a tough one. Like, I'd probably throw it towards more signature dining, to be honest. Like, one of my favorite things about going to Disney World is the dining. I just love, like, and right now too, because it's a place where you can take your mask off too, right? So it's nice, you know, a nice break from the day. You've been in the parks with your mask on, and you know, you just want to relax and, you know, have some good conversation with friends and family. So I would throw it towards like a nice grab all my people, you know, like we're just going to do it up. We're going to do drinks, cocktails, appetizers, desserts. We're just going to have one massive meal with the stimulus.
And you know what? That's really smart, because if you think about what the stimulus is, it's that you spend it, right? And that you spend it in a way that it employs people, it generates, you know, revenue for businesses and so forth. And, you know, you'd be taking care of a server, you'd be keeping a table seated at the restaurant, everybody be making memories. Great idea. I like it. So Pam, what do you think?
Yeah, I love that idea. I think that's a great thing. And I know that I'd be spending at least some of ours on food and drink for sure. I think I would look at some merchandise, just some things like that. Maybe, you know, every now and then we're all down there and you look at this thing and you're like, I want that. And then you think to yourself, that's absurd. Like, literally, I am not either it's too expensive, or I'm never going to use that, or I'm going to take it home. And then where am I going to put that? But gosh, it feels kind of good to buy some stuff like that every now and then. You're like, you know what? I'm going to throw caution to the wind here, and I'm just going to buy it. So I don't know. Like, Magic Bands, for some reason, I was one who was like, why are people buying all these Magic Bands? You get the band for free. What do you care? I will have to say I am such a convert in this space, because I love all of the Magic Bands. Like, the different colors that you can't get, you know, that you weren't able to get when the Magic Bands were still included with your stay, all of that. So I love that. I might buy, you know, some Magic Bands there, I will say. And like jewelry, there's always something jewelry. And I'm not even really a big jewelry person, but I buy it. I like it. It's one of those things. So,
okay. Real quick, mine would be, and I'm so boring and I'm not using it for what it should be, I would just put it away till annual pass. I would renew my annual pass. I put it towards my renewal, because I would think I'm going to make all these memories, you know, out of, and that would be a huge chunk. Because what I do every year is I save all my Disney Visa points. And then that is usually in the ballpark of most of an annual pass for the next year, the renewal. And that's what I use my Disney Visa points. It's so boring, but it's like, hey, I get another year of memories, right? Making, you know, having a good time, going to a place I love. So that's probably what I'd use it for. Not perfect use. Scott won on that one. I got a hot take, though, for you, Pam. I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to see what Scott thinks, too. Hot take. 2021 is the year that Magic Bands die. They're no longer, you rarely see them at the end of 2021. And I say this because, and
incorrect,
it's because of Scott.
I don't know.
I say this because of Scott. Okay. So when I was down there at Caribbean Beach, right? We were making the switch from Riviera to Caribbean Beach, had all my junk. We're trying to go get something to eat or something. And I'm just dropping my stuff in the room. Of course, what happens? Magic Band does not open my door. Right. And what's the name of the building? Martinique. I knew it was with an M. Somewhere in the Caribbean.
How can we help you? We don't know what you're doing.
I'm thinking, I'm in a blue building. It was building 25. Anyway, So I, magic band, boop, red light, boop, red light, boop, red light. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. And it's check the number. Yep, it's the right room. Scott's like, dude, pull out your phone. It opens your door. I'm like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Pulled out my phone. Bam, that door opened. And I used it every time. I didn't even get my magic band fixed. And with an Apple Watch, it was easy enough to just, you know, it's basically a magic band for charging. So I didn't use a magic band for 3 days, and I was totally fine. And I'm a big magic band fan. But I, you know, it's not, it didn't seem as
magic. I disagree. People that stay off site, they can't even use the magic band to charge or do anything else by magic bands. Like, they, people love them. It's sort of like, first of all, it's an accessory that's like $25 or less. You know, and I think that's, it's a little opportunity to show some of your personality, and everybody else is wearing them. So,
true. I don't know, Scott, where do you fall in the magic band?
I'm in the middle because, am I right? Where like they're not like complimentary anymore? Right. Like in starting 2021,
they're not complimentary with your stay, but they're only $5, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, they're still like inexpensive, right? Yeah. And I think they're, for like people like us, like I'm with Pam, I'm on Team Pam here. Like I love collecting them. Like I see a new color, I'm like, oh my god, I gotta have that. Or I'm at Food and Wine and they have like a special 25th anniversary one. Like, ooh, gotta buy that one. You know, like I fall into the trap, and I've even bought them as like gifts for like my family who don't even go to Disney. Like my dad has a favorite character. You know what? I see a magic band, I'm gonna buy that for him, and he can do whatever he wants with it. He'll never go to Disney, but he has a magic band.
Do with it.
I know, it'll be like those commercials where like people were trying to like tap in, you know, at home and stuff. It's just, there's something about the magic band, I think.
I love it as a DVC member when I go in and it turns purple and tells me welcome home. Like I love that.
I do get jealous when Scott goes in front of me. I'm like, dude, my magic band does nothing. And I'm an annual pass holder, but it does nothing. Boop.
It should do something for APs though with that.
Yeah, it should. Yeah. Totally. Anyway, you know, you're right. I mean, they are fun, but I just think I got a kick out of my phone because it would do the little, had like a star thing, whoosh, door unlocked. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yes. And I'm glad that you like that, because the last, like my Disney Experience update, which happens like every other day, but whenever I open the app and try to unlock my door, totally crashes the app for me.
Oh my gosh. And that's the whole thing. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say, the last thing I want is to have to use my phone to open my door at 10 o'clock at night because my phone's always dead. And I'm thinking, man, battery management. I have 7 batteries on me at all, external batteries. I am never going to have a dead phone. Trust me. If you need, I'm a mobile power plant.
Steve gets swirly under 50%.
Me too. I start freaking out. Exactly.
Why can't it just be face recognition though at the door? Like, why can't it just look at my face like it does for my phone? So I don't, one less thing to get out of my pocket or a purse or wherever. Like, I just want to recognize my face.
Maybe it does. We just don't know yet. Okay, back to the questions. Michael's got a question. Do you think annual passes will go back on sale by April? Nobody knows, right? I mean,
we don't.
Who knows?
I think getting the park hopping back was step number one. I really, truly do. I think we're moving in that direction. So I think we'll see how that goes. And that starts really soon. That'll be nice to see. And then, I think that hopefully we'll get those back soon.
All righty. Kristen Cassidy in the live chat says, I need a resort recommendation. We almost always stay at Port Orleans, but we're looking to go next year. With no opening day, where would you stay? So a 2021 trip. Right now, of course, we cannot book French Quarter or Riverside currently. Now, this could change. You know, who knows? I mean, I don't think it'll change by the time this podcast comes out. But about 17 times this past year, amazing stuff has happened between recording and publishing. No, but I don't think it will. So if you want something to replace kind of that sweet spot of a French Quarter or Riverside, Pam, what pops into your head first?
So, I mean, the other two moderates you have are Caribbean Beach and Coronado, and I'm such a fan of both right now for a few different reasons. Caribbean Beach is really, you know, it has the Skyliner, and it has the Skyliner, and it has the Skyliner, and that's like the number one reason why I like it. It also has some interesting dining options. So, gosh, I really hope that we see Sebastian's open back up, because I thought that was a quality dining location. But even without it, you still have Banana Cabana and you're within walking distance of the Riv, so you can enjoy the dining opportunities there. Coronado has been my favorite moderate for a really long time. And I think it's just because, you know, it does feel like a deluxe light. The accommodations, I think, are really sort of stylish and contemporary, but still have a Disney touch. And it has a lot of dining and recreation options, too. So I have a hard time deciding between the two of those. I really, truly do. But if you have a family of five and you're looking for those moderate rooms that accommodate up to five guests, then you're going to have to choose Caribbean Beach because that is the only choice you have. Unless you're going to go into Coronado and stay at Grandestino, there are some rooms that accommodate five or more, but they're going to be pricier options. So
here's what I would say, kind of a little different take on that, because right, Caribbean Beach and Coronado, I think that's a great opportunity to explore somewhere else in the moderate category. But what about Wilderness Lodge, especially if you're a Riverside fan? I think they're both rustic. They're especially if you're like an Alligator Bayou kind of person at Riverside. You know, Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge are kind of that very first entry into the deluxe resorts. They're not quite as expensive as like a beach or yacht or boardwalk or, you know, one of the monorail resorts. You know, I just think they have kind of this Wilderness Lodge and Riverside have a similar feel to Alligator Bayou. Not a huge step up in price, especially if you can catch a discount over at Wilderness Lodge. And kind of a nice four. That was my first deluxe resort was Wilderness Lodge from a Riverside. So it might work. So Scott, any other suggestions for?
I had a really weird like thought process here. I was like, oh, Riverside, you know, maybe they're Disney Springs people, you know, because you can take the boat from there, which is one of my favorite things to do. Obviously, the boat's not working right now from any of those resorts that are close to Disney Springs. But I was thinking Saratoga. Could be a fun little option to try. Like maybe they always do moderate, so they want to splash their feet into deluxe. I was kind of thinking the way you were, Mike, with maybe like a Wilderness Lodge. But I thought Saratoga would also be a fun little option too. They're renovating their rooms and they look spectacular. I'm just
so nice.
Oh my gosh, I want to stay in one of those so bad. They look so great. And I was thinking Saratoga could be a good option.
Yeah, Pam, did we get a survey from Disney on the travel agent side saying, maybe I saw it somewhere else, but there was a kind of a survey that went out to guests and the Saratoga rooms were just getting rave reviews on the remodels. I saw that somewhere. I thought it was on one of the emails they sent to the agents, but maybe not. But it was somewhere where they said, you know, they had surveyed a ton of guests about Saratoga's remodeled rooms and they're just getting unbelievably positive reviews.
Yeah, for sure. And a little plug for the Magic for Less Travels YouTube channel, because we have video walkthroughs of the studios and the one bedroom. So those rooms are beautiful. I've stayed in both of them and I was like really impressed. If you like the Riviera, you're going to love these rooms. They're basically the same kind of rooms. And they feel so much more contemporary. They really took Saratoga Springs and brought it into this century, which it needed. Yes, it really did. And now they're great. They're really, really great. So,
is it true though, Pam? It's just the preferred rooms right now, but they're working on the rest of the resort.
I think there's more than just the preferred rooms done, but the preferred rooms are definitely done. So if you want to be sure to get a renovated room, then definitely book a preferred room. So.
Awesome. All right. I like this next question because I definitely have an opinion on this. This is from Mark McGuire. Oh, wait, it's Matt McGuire. See, I was thinking it was 98 again. I was like, Sosa's going to be up next with the following question. Oh, God, those are the days. The great home run chase at 98. Oh, man. I love that. Anyway, what section of the cruise ship do you recommend, forward or aft? Best decks in the newer ships. Okay, so
I think we all had the same answer.
I think we do because we've actually had boom, 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 three staterooms in a row, and it's aft, baby. Especially if you're an adult, if you have adults that are going to go to. Actually, I don't think it matters, but especially for the adult areas on the ship, and those aft balconies are incredible. They're huge, and especially if you maybe have a couple people going together, you can pull the dividers down. I mean, it's like a dance floor out there outside your stateroom. So we all agree, right? Aft.
Yeah.
And if you have a stop at Castaway Key, I love aft too, because the way you like back into the island, you have a great view. It makes for a great video too. If you're just out there when you're starting to dock, I love aft.
Yeah.
I do too. And I think the other thing about it is even if you don't have an extended balcony, even if you just have a regular balcony, there's something about the wake of the ship, right? Being able to look out the back and just gaze at that. And seriously, I know I've spent time on just about every cruise out there on my balcony, just watching it, it's expansive. There's something about it that you can't see anything but the ocean and the wake of your ship. And that's a really cool view. So, yeah. And I love that we're talking about cruising.
Yes.
Come on, cruises.
Yeah. And how about Disney Cruise Line announcing some new itineraries, just dropping them on Monday? That was crazy. Yeah. Hello. That was nice.
I'm ready to jump on the first cruise. Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
So you guys know, like, the Pluto TV is like one of my things. It's like a free app. You can get it on your Roku, on your Apple TV. And I have my TV down here right behind me in the studio. And as I work all day, there's a Love Boat channel. It's 24/7 Love Boat. Just nonstop. And I've seen like every episode like 7 times at this point. And I keep seeing this one with Mark Harmon, the guy from NCIS. And he's probably like 20 in it. And he's getting married, but like his bride runs away. They're in Skagway. Oh, I just want to get on a cruise ship. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. I know which episode you're talking about.
Oh my God. I've always, and then like the old people, because she calls off the wedding. So like two old people, I can't exactly remember exactly what, because I'm always working while it's going on. But like they decide to get married instead because, hey, we already have a minister and every all the guests are here. So we'll get married. You know, it's one of those things. And then he runs back. And of course, everybody, it's so funny too, because they have the bachelor party on the ship at the Pirate Cove, like Gopher's bar there. And like, dude, the captain's at the bachelor party, Gopher and what's his name? Isaac. They're all there. Like they've known the guy for 20 years. I mean, Scott, we understand, right? I mean, by like day 5 of a 7-night cruise, like we're in with the staff, like, you know, they could all be hanging with us.
Mike, you and I are normally in by the first
one. Yeah, that's true.
First night. Plus, and with the bartender.
Yeah, how about the theming of that bar on that ship?
Oh, God, I love it. If I could do my basement like the Pirate Cove, dude, I would do it in a blink. If, like, all the girls are gone right now shopping as we record, I would love for them to come home, and all of a sudden the basement's just the Pirate's Cove. Or the Acapulco Lounge, right, in earlier seasons. But the Pirate Cove is my jam. Anyway, all right. I could talk about Love Boat. I should start a Love Boat podcast. All right, Shannon's got a question. Hey, guys. Going down in April after a delayed August trip this fall, staying off property, when do you suggest booking those park tickets and reservations? Soon or by February? One person in the party may not be able to come last minute, and I don't want to get stuck with 4 days of park tickets if you can't go. Suggestions for that. Thanks. Have a good Christmas. It's snowing finally in the mitten. Yeah, we don't have snow. Actually, it's like 60 degrees here as we record. So, yes, it's not. I know it's beautiful. It was 45 this morning for my run at 5 a.m. I'll take that. All right, back to the task at hand. I'm very distracted the day before Christmas Eve. Pam, what do you say? I mean, I tell everybody just book them early as you can because you never know. And it's their limited availability. People are getting shut out like on January 1st for some parks, stuff like that. So what do you say, Pam?
I agree. We always tell guests to go ahead and book those park reservations as soon as you have tickets in hand or a resort reservation. I understand you're staying off site. That makes it a little more challenging if you have someone who may not be able to go. That's actually one of the great benefits of staying on site is that you can book a package that includes tickets. And if later on you need to cancel someone from that package, you aren't stuck with those tickets. So that's a huge plus for staying on site. You may want to consider that, especially because there are some really great deals out there. There's another deal that will be announced on January 5th. So see if it's in the budget. Some of the Disney hotels are so inexpensive when you're taking a look at stuff like that. And the special that's coming out on the 5th will actually give you 2 additional days for, select tickets in your ticket, including your package. So consider that. If not, the other thing I would suggest that you do is go ahead and make the reservations for those of you who already have tickets and hope that when that other person can purchase tickets that, he'll be able to go and then you aren't stuck with that. So you can hope that those parks are still available.
Tough person to make up their mind. Let's go. We're going. You're going. That's just how it is. No, we know there's other circumstances. But yes, mentioning that special that comes out on January 5th, here in a couple of weeks, the good news about that one is it's valid for travel dates into September, actually towards the end of September. So the good news is, this is what I tell my guests because I've had some questions about it. And, it's good to try to get that one right now. And, it may or may not work out better with an upcoming room discount that could come out, say, spring or early summer for those dates or what have you. But, what I always say, let's get something, and let's lock into that and then always try to improve, right? I think that's the plan. And, more time in the parks is always fun. So, Scott, You know, some people have passes, some people don't. But hey, you know, buy three, get two free, always a good deal.
Yeah, I can't add much more there. I was kind of agreeing with Pan. Like, if you could swing it, I would look into your options for on-site. There are some great discounts out there. There's so many conveniences to staying on-site, you know, and you just book it now. And then if you have to make a change, then you can easily make a change. So,
right. Okay, so here's one kind of speculative question that I think is interesting. And we'll wrap it up with this one because, again, it is Christmas Eve. We've got cookies to eat and stuff to do. Alfred asks, do you think Reflections will ever be built? So, Scott, you're a DVC member, and this was going to be a – well, actually, let me ask you, and so Pam, you're a DVC member too. What were your thoughts on Reflections? Was this something that you were super excited about, like kind of excited about? I mean, what were your thoughts, and do you think it's going to come around eventually?
I was excited about it. As hello, I'm trying to pull sound like Pam here. Hello, a new resort.
Yeah,
like, what's
true.
Not to be excited
that's
about true. A new resort? That's right. The best part of a Disney vacation. So yeah, I was super excited about it. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of details on it. Like when they released that announcement, I didn't like say like, oh my God, I had to buy DVC here or anything like that. But was I interested? Absolutely. I just love having more options. More options is a really good thing. So I was super excited about it. To your later question, I don't know. I would lean towards that it is not going to be built now. I hope I'm really wrong there, but I'm really leaning towards that they will not be building it.
You know, the way I see it, again, kind of like you, I love resorts, right? I love staying in new places. And forever, I think I've said this about a few months back, is that when I first started going to Disney, you know, I was not a DVC member, still am not. And, you know, just the time isn't right at this point in my life. But I was always one of those people who, when I went on the Walt Disney World website or talked to a travel agent, what have you, I never considered any of the DVC resorts because I thought I couldn't stay there, right? I'd see, you know, I'd skip through like, oh, Saratoga, skip, you know, Beach Club Villas, skip, you know, Old Key West. God, I love Old Key West, skip. I skipped that forever and I love that. But I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I skipped that for so long because I love that resort. And the thing is, like with Reflections, obviously I want them to build it because I would love to stay there just, you know, as a regular guest when I had the opportunity. And yeah, I think it's one of those things, though, if you kind of think about Pop Century after 9/11, right? They didn't finish the other side. It just kind of sat and sat and sat. I'm glad Reflections didn't get to that point where it's partially built and kind of like in limbo and just kind of sitting there like a scary building. You know, at least it's just, I mean, they cleared the ground and it's just kind of a big hole in the ground, not a hole in the ground, but just a flat piece of land. But, you know, 10 years down the line, it could be sitting there. You know, I mean, I think the good news is, and again, crossing my fingers here at the end of 2020, I think the economy is going to bounce back quickly, more quickly than a lot of other situations, because we have the opportunity with hopefully this vaccine that everybody can get back out and everything can get back to normal in a more quickly, you know, more quickly than I think other situations warrant. Maybe they could start building because that's good for everybody. It's good for the economy. So, Pam, wrapping this up, I mean, what would you think? Like Reflections, is it ever going to happen? What do you think?
I don't know. Sometimes when things like this don't happen when they're supposed to, Disney kind of then sort of tables them. And that's what I'm kind of worried about with this resort. Not because I don't think it's in a great location, because I think it is in a great location between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. It would be, I'm sure that they would make some kind of more formalized walkway there between the two. And I think that the concept was actually really interesting too. I loved it. Like Scott, I was excited about it. And I always love when there's going to be a new resort. I'm ready. I'm like, when's it opening? Let's get there. I mean, you know, it's that kind of thing. It's that I love the resorts as much as the parks. I love the resorts. So I was excited to see this, but I'm kind of leaning toward it may not. I think that Disney will absolutely bounce back quickly, but I think it'll be a little bit before they're putting more money into resorts probably, which is a shame because they were really running out of space prior to all of this. I mean, we were out of resorts.
So. And then you think with like Riverside and French Corner, like you mentioned earlier, Mike, they're not even opening that resort. Right. So why build another resort when you're leaving one unattended, you know?
Yeah, it's but tough. I'm just hoping though. I mean, like, again, I'm super optimistic in most things in life, but I'm looking at like, say, well, I mean, look at October, right? It's going to be the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World. I'm hoping, again, who knows? I'm hoping by October, every resort is back open. and every room is filled. Now, of course, that first weekend, of course, that gives you all the Disney fans are coming home, right? We want to all be there. We want to partake in whatever we have to partake in. But, you know, I'm hoping, you know, they don't just open like a Riverside and a French Quarter for that weekend. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to want to have it sustained like into November, December. Because, I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of the perfect opportunity for Disney. If you look at it from a financial and a travel standpoint, is that you have, I think the 50th is happening the perfect time, right? You get everybody excited for October 1st, kicking off the 50th anniversary. And then basically, you have that momentum to roll right into the holiday season of 2021 and then go from there. I mean, Pam, that's kind of how I've seen. Of course, you know, the holidays don't start October 1st, but I mean, you have a lot of excitement there building through. And then you got hopefully the Halloween parties come back and you have them going on from October 1st on. You move right into Thanksgiving, Christmas, and boom, hopefully everything's back to normal. Again, I'm wishing, but I think it could happen.
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears. So let's make it happen. What do we need to do?
That's all. Okay, Chris, I'm going to go.
Christmas? Yes. I think we know what Mike is asking for.
That's right. That's what I was saying. I'm heading to Christmas Eve. Right, yeah, that's right. I'm out of here. I'm going to meet Santa, socially distant, at JCPenney's, and that's what I'm going to ask for. So there you go. All right. We are going to get out of here. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays with you and your family. Don't forget, coming up over the next couple of days, tomorrow on Christmas Eve, we have the Holiday Tradition Show that we recorded this past Sunday night. A lot of callers calling in. We talked about Christmas cookies from around the country. I hadn't heard of most of them. We had a lot of our listeners do the Feast of the Seven Fishes, which I had never heard of. So that was kind of interesting. We got a lot of Pennsylvania kind of things, Pam. So you're going to have to check that out. A lot of your kind of cookies and stuff from your corner of the world. And we talked about favorite toys from the past. Alfred talked about his Atari 5200 that he got. I only got 2,600. I didn't get all the way to 5,200. So that's kind of fun. So yeah, that'll be on your feed on Thursday, Christmas Eve. And of course, Friday, it's a Be Our Guest podcast tradition. Pam, Ricky, and I are going to get together and exchange our gifts from the Be Our Guest podcast studios on Christmas morning. So check those out as well. Don't forget today's show, as always, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're ready to get that trip on the books for 2021, we're here to help you make that happen. So just drop by themagicforless.com. After you've had, you know, one too many Christmas cookies, or, you know, you're watching your like sixth, you know, college football bowl game or the sixth NBA game or what have you. Is the NBA playing on Christmas this year? I don't know if they are. I think the season's already started, so I think they are. Yeah, pretty sure. Anyway, just drop by the Magic for Less on that new, maybe shiny iPhone you got for Christmas and fill out that quote form. We'll take great care of you. Scott's checking it out. The Pistons playing? You did what in your cup?
I recall, like, I think the NBA season tips off like a couple days before. So today, actually,
right.
As this is released, and then there will be games on Christmas, if I remember right.
Yeah, it would seem like they would want to. There's NFL games on Christmas Day this year, which is kind of unusual, too. So you just get on the phone and drop by the Magic Plus. We'll take great care of you. Also, don't forget, use our Amazon affiliate link as you continue to do your online shopping. We appreciate that. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. A huge shout out to our patrons. Thank you so much for making all this podcasting possible over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, subscribe to the show over on Facebook and YouTube, and you can get in on the live shows as we record typically on Monday afternoons. All right, we're going to get out of here because, of course, I'm sure you got some last minute gift wrapping to do, or like Pam said, I got to head down and tell Santa what I need for 2021. It's a fun year down at Walt Disney World for all of us, and that's going to happen, I have a feeling. All right, so for Scott and Pam and Ricky, who's here in Missouri but not joining us live here on the show, I'm Mike, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.